Coming up on Patriots This Week. Now that's more like it.
Jonathan Jones broke on the throw.
This is the end of the game.
And saves the Patriots.
A primetime matchup gets the Patriots back on track in Tampa.
You can build off this as a defense.
Two games in 5 days. The quick turnaround win took some of the sting out of the walk-off loss against the Panthers.
To the uprights. The kick is good.
We just got to play better. Coach better. We just got to do a better job. It wasn't good enough today.
The unexpected home loss against Cam in Carolina prompted a new resolve for the team.
You got to hold each other to a higher standard than that. And, that starts today.
That's right now on Patriots This Week.
Both the Patriots and the Buccaneers made a fashion statement on a color rush Thursday, though there weren't many style points in New England's 19-14 win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Nonetheless, it is victory number 3 as the Patriots get back above 500. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Patriots This Week. Bob Soucy with my radio partner on 98.5 The Sports Hub, Scott Zolak, and 3-time Super Bowl champion Matt Chatham. And, you know, guys, last week Devin McCourty, Patriots defensive captain, said the offense is doing its part, but we've been letting them down. Last night, the defense with a big pick-me-up.
Yeah, and they had a big statement, too. Alan Branch did not make the trip. I thought the defense played really well in this game, Bob. You take away those last couple chunk plays from Jameis Winston, I think that's where he really packed on the yardage. But I thought we didn't call Mike Evans' name a lot during the broadcast, which means Stephon Gilmore's doing his job. So if we're going to be critical of Gilmore week to week to week and put the money into it, we got to give him credit when he pretty much handles one of the better wide receivers in the league. And he did that with Mike Evans. They competed well. I thought it was the best combo game of both safeties, meaning McCourty and Chung, that they played yet this year.
Yeah, one of the things that happens that you kind of lose sight of when we get in the midst of this and they're not playing well is matchups, and that's kind of what football is all about. You look at the Chiefs, you look at the Texans, you look at the Panthers. Those are misdirection mobile quarterback offenses. This was a pro style. Big, tall wide receivers, not a lot of pre-snap motion. They're not doing the little bunches and fake reverses and stuff. They stand where they're going to be. They run their routes. They try to run the football on you, and that fits better the stuff that New England does well defensively. So,
and I thought it was good they kicked Hightower back inside huge for the front. See Dante starting to feel a little bit, jumping the A gap, the run blitzes, all that stuff, trying to set the tone up front. But I don't know what the exact numbers were, man to zone, but it felt to me they played a lot more man, which means I'm going to go up and I'm going to take my guy. We're not going to worry about fancy zones and communicating and passing guys off. I don't know what you thought, but it seemed like more man-to-man to me.
Yeah, I mean, I still think they do both, but I think you stay out of the situations of a miscommunication because they don't cross a lot of stuff. They don't bring a guy across the ball. They do two tight ends, and they kind of just line up where they line up, and then they run the route. So I think you can hide some of the blemishes you've had because you don't have to face that kind of craziness again.
In the game on Thursday, one in which the box score told a lot of the story when it comes to Devin McCourty, 11 solo tackles, and after the game, Bill Belichick singled him out.
I thought Devin really took it upon himself to say, you know what, we need this game. We got to go out there. I got to be on point. Chung's got to be on point. Everybody was on point in this game. I had no problem with the way the defense played.
Which was crazy. If we're talking about the last 4 weeks, I think there was a sense, because communication was sort of the popular topic, that there was some sort of leadership issue. Man, you couldn't have better leaders than Devin and Duron. And some of these guys really stepped up. Chung had a nice game as well. But Devin stepping up and getting involved in the box, but then also downfield coverage. He has to do everything in the role. So I thought this was a real good week to sort of show that, hey, no, they still got the right guys in the room. These guys can put it together. The guys stepped up.
It wasn't perfect, and especially the sequence at the end of the first half and the last couple of drives where the Bucs had big plays the end of the game.
Yep. We'll call
they were
two plays
helped
stupid.
Out by Nick Folk's three missed field goals, including one that really never should have taken place after the back-to-back roughing the passer calls.
Those two plays per half was just ridiculous. You thought Bill was just going to lose his mind. You're kind of waiting for the explosion at halftime. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall for that one. But I think the bigger sort of story here in all this is the ugliness for everyone, right? Mm-hmm. It was Thursday night football, which is midweek practice for everyone in the league. I just don't think the product's very good, and I think it's beyond just complaining about whether or not you're entertained. It's just that on a night like this where you know both teams have just done walkthroughs, you have a higher volume of flags than normal. I mean, does that make any sense? I mean,
guys were tired.
They just couldn't.
Guys were tired.
You're talking about incredible number of snaps in a five-day span.
Yes, it's crazy.
Plus,
crazy.
If you're a referee crew, too, and Carl Sheffers, I think he's one of the better referees in the league, this crew wanted to be the story. And I thought they were a jackwagon-type crew, some ridiculous calls. Yeah. Now, some of them are legit. You got to call them. But if you're throwing 20, 24 penalties a game on a Thursday night, they got to want to get out of there, too.
Going to the offense now, Rob Gronkowski wasn't out there for the Patriots. Danny Amendola, Chris Hogan, really with a big performance by each of them, Brandon Cooks as well for the Pats.
Massive jumps, I think, from week one. And I told you this during the broadcast. Chris Hogan is really, in essence, an outside guy. I thought they were forcing him week one Kansas City to be that Edelman return route runner. That's Danny's spot now. We're starting to see that. Edelman's getting the dirty yards inside. I call him a dirty player because I think he's gritty, he's tough. He's going to go in there and sacrifice everything and get big third down catches. That's what he did. Hogan's great on those comebacks outside. Let's keep it as it is. You get Gronkowski back next week, and I think things will be better.
There was a two-play sequence with Brandon Cooks where they threw the smokescreen. Just turn and look, big play. Go back to the very next play. It's the deep over where it hits on the far other side of the numbers. Again, I'm going to keep using this name. That's Antonio Brown. That's exactly how they use him. That's exactly how they use him. The reason this is only a percentage of Brown, though, is because there were a couple drops last night, missed opportunities on slants, where this could have been like a 7-catch, 200-yard game for Cooks.
Could have been a huge one.
But it was still good. He was still obviously a very positive part of what they do, but they're still just kind of on the cusp with him.
Still, put this in perspective, and it goes back to your point about the ugliness of Thursday night games. The Patriots were working on their game plan yesterday. Josh McDaniels had two offensive game plans, one with Gronk,
That's
one
fun.
Without Gronk.
Right.
And Tom Brady said after the fact that they were still adding things and still coming up with their game plan, evolving it on game day.
It's impressive that you could go on a short week, operate the way they did, still throw for 300 yards without Edelman, without Gronkowski. And you can thank the quarterback for that. If they don't have that quarterback, you're not dealing with two different plans.
Hey, what about the running of Deion Lewis, including a 31-yard dash by him, and Mike Gillisley last night going back to his home state of Florida?
I think that they have a nice combination of running backs. I think they're very close, meaning Gillisley, as far as stepping out, the quintessential blunt run, where you're down, you're tackled, you step out of a tackle, you get to the secondary. But Deion did it last night. That's exciting. I mean, they're running 10, 6 a clip, and next thing you know, you're back in shotgun on third and one. Some of that stuff drives you crazy at times.
It does. I think if you take out the draw plays that get one, you sort of pull those out of your sample, and all of a sudden I think they're like a 5 or 6 yard a carry team. At least feels that way. They stick it to their mix. Remember, we're doing all this without Rex Burkhead, which was the other sort of weapon that's a big part of this, presumably down the road.
Well, the difference was 9 until the Buccaneers scored for the final time last night, and that difference was the 3 missed field goals by Nick Folk, but also 3 made field goals by Steven Gostkowski.
I know at some point this year he'll miss one. Every kicker misses one eventually, but someone will come back with he never makes the big kick. That was the big kick.
That won the game.
Yep. That is the kick.
All right, guys, that's it for me on this show. You guys are left with Paul Prilo coming up next.
You're going on DL, buddy.
I'm out of here. We'll be back with more Patriots This Week right after this.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments, proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. By Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Waste Management. Find out why 4 out of 5 customers recommend Waste Management for their waste disposal needs.
This week's Putnam Player Spotlights is on James Devlin. The 6'3", 255-pounder was a standout at Brown as a defensive lineman before joining New England in 2012. The chemical engineering major has been a terrific blocking fullback and special teamer for the Pats. And against the Panthers, the 29-year-old contributed with 2 receptions out of the backfield. The Putnam Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week here inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. What we did, guys, is we put Soce on the DL and brought this guy in, Paul Prilo.
Big shoes to fill.
To recap the Carolina game.
Not that big.
Yeah. I mean, he has little shoes, little hands, but much bigger seat. All right, let's go to Carolina. 2 games in a short week here, and we know the outcome, but I want to go back to Carolina. Carolina wins it with a walk-off field goal, which sort of magnified and highlighted the defensive problems. Paul, I want to start with you. What are you seeing defensively other than this miscommunication that Stephon Gilmore, Devin McCourty, everybody talks about?
Well, obviously that's what's getting most of the attention, but I think the problems are widespread and a little concerned about some of the issues up front, too, stopping the run. I mean, we knew there was going to be some issues putting pressure on the passer. They don't have a lot of proven pass rushers, and they're sort of finding their way, and I think some of the young guys are showing up a little bit there, but they haven't really consistently stopped the run in any of the games other than New Orleans.
I think, obviously, the miscommunication stuff becomes a hot topic, deserves to be one. It's not like it's new to us. We've been talking about this for 4 weeks. But I would say that the greater issue is that when they realized they had those problems, they tried to simplify it and soft drop and do zones. Then there were big gashes there as well. So yeah. It's like if you're a coaching staff and you're saying, okay, they're getting confused with all this other stuff. Let's put the vanilla basic
seems
thing
like
out there.
Lack of penetration.
They make mistakes in the easier call as well.
But the two calls on Gilmer, the hands to the face, that's the rule. That's the call. But I'll go to Matt. You talk about momentum, a team. It seems like momentum at that point flipped. How does that affect a team, and how do you snap out of that?
Yeah, because that was really the story of the game. I mean, the defense was not great for three quarters, very poor at a lot of situations. You get down the stretch, they needed two defensive stops. They really got two defensive stops, finally, and then the penalty unseats it, and then the drive continues, and the game sort of ends with that. So, yeah, I think it's, you know, you'd much rather have a team that just plays better throughout. If they're going to play poorly, at least they get those critical stops. But then when it's undone by not smart play, and I think what makes this one worse is because you would have had a warning because you got a flag for the same thing prior. So you did the same mistake second time. And I think this is something that, you know, you have championships around here. You get how you got them. In the biggest moments, that's when you got to play the technique the best. That's when you got to be as much on point. And that's when the breakdowns have happened. That's obviously the biggest problem.
Gilmore talking after the game about not wanting to change his style. I'm going to continue to be physical.
Because I don't know what else I can do.
He didn't get called for illegal contact.
Right.
You know, it wasn't one of those, well, it was maybe 5 or 6 yards, and it was kind of. He got called for hitting a guy in the face. It's pretty cut and dried. I mean, the Patriots largely won a Super Bowl because it was an egregious holding call on Chris Long that negated a possible field goal that would have salted the game. It was an obvious penalty. They called it. It decided the game.
And the
it's not
first,
that different.
The first one, I thought, was somewhat ticky-tack. So if you're understanding the course of the game and how a crew is going to call it, if they're going to call me for barely getting my pinky on a face mask, the one on Funchess at the end where he jacked him under the helmet.
Certainly not going to drive his head back.
Like, and Funchess is doing this, saying, hey, you got me. And he didn't even see the guy in the deep throw it. I want to talk about Harmon, too. He mentioned simplifying things. Yeah. How do you simplify things, Matt? What do you play, just man or zone?
Well, I loved his answer because his answer was that we already had that discussion. We're already at that spot.
Devin talked about that in New Orleans.
Yeah, now you're to the level where we had the pullback, and now it's just not even executing at the pullback. It's pretty basic stuff. These are stacks. These are bunches. You see this at the collegiate level. You see this in every other NFL team is seeing this. The only reason you're seeing so many of them now is because they can't pick them up. So you've invited more of the same stuff. But there's not some call that makes it happen. It's just simply anticipating, hey, motion's coming. What do we do on motion versus this particular call? But just know that there's pros in the room that have done this well for a long time. They should be able to get it.
You know, in the continuation of seeing some of the stuff, too, it looked like they put an awful lot into Christian McCaffrey, you know, in that Panthers game, and they shut him down. I thought that was a little curious. He hasn't really been all that productive in his first month here with the Panthers. And that little screen to Fozzie Whitaker, it looked like the whole team bid on
the
Matt's point about you're going to see this stuff more often because until you prove that you can stop it, you can expect to see a lot of it.
It's important to note this on that particular play, though, as well. There was the screw-up in the secondary. There was, you know, a couple guys sort of chasing the play, didn't know what was going on. Any kind of screenplay, just to let you know this is how it's coached, you're responsible, the front is responsible for the screen. Your secondary gets involved with sort of pursuit tackling and making sure it doesn't break for too much. It was blown at the middle linebacker position and across the line. So it became exacerbated by the fact that the DBs had run off the play. But it would have been worse had there been a pass play to those guys. It wasn't. It just, I think, our attention went there because that looked so odd.
All right, we'll talk about Tom Brady real quick. Tom Brady, really good. So I will just leave it right there. We know that. Without getting into detail, the problem is quarterbacks are putting up Brady-like numbers against you. How long can you live that way?
The Patriots used to sort of send teams into tailspins. When you played the Patriots, they would think they had something going. They'd come in, they'd get their teeth knocked in, and that would set them off on a tailspin for a month. Now it looks like they got Houston going. They may even have gotten New Orleans going. Who knows? I mean, they haven't lost since they lost to the Patriots. But they got Watson going. Now all of a sudden, the team that had 3 touchdowns all year scored touchdowns on 4 out of 5 drives, and the one that they didn't score on, they fumbled on the 7-yard line.
If you're any offense that's struggling and you get people across from you that make mental errors, the dam is open. And I think that's clearly the biggest story. If you had to place a chip right now, if they'll still be making mental errors in December, I think it's a safe bet they won't be, but are you going to dig big enough, you know, too big of a hole in the interim?
Chad talks about it.
Talk
got
show.
Tight right
Jordan.
There. All right, time now for your Zoe Show. Tough start to the year here for the New England Patriots. Thought to get off to a much better start, but we're going to take a look at some individuals who are off to a great start. Rob Gronkowski, the all-world tight end. We're going to take a look at this record-breaking type throw right here by Tom Brady. Great pocket right there, and the big boy up the seam. Now, this is impressive for a couple of reasons. Not only did he just push that safety, freeze it right there, stop it. So right there, you got this guy who's doing lateral coverage. He's your star defender, meaning he's got the slot. They let him get a free release. Now, stop right there. Okay, this is the bottom of the numbers. This is why this guy has great football intelligence. Tom Brady's talked about it. It's spacing, because if Gronkowski runs this seam to the top of those numbers, this guy's going to make the play. So he catches it to the bottom, understands his spacing. Then right here, this is when you start to know that the big boy's filling it and he's getting it back. Another great look at the throw. Doesn't make him break stride. It's not high. It's not low. He can defend himself. You can tell that number 87, as we continue to get one more good look at this great catch. I'm telling you, the kid's breaking records. He's the best tight end I've ever seen play the game. It's great to have Rob Gronkowski. We just got to start feeding him the ball more. There's your Zoe Show.
The Zoe Show is presented by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week here inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. Not Bob Soucy, Bob's Discount Furniture. And we bring in our NFL insider, Don Banks. Don, it's good to see you. It's time for your bank shots. Quarter poll. We're going to go around the league. I want to start down in Miami, AFC East. Jay Cutler, what do you make of him so far?
This is an experiment that is fizzling. What doesn't make sense, though, is they brought him in because supposedly he knew Adam Gase's offense
right.
from 2015 in Chicago. Doesn't look like it. He looks a little lost. He looks like he doesn't know where to go with the football. And what I don't understand is they're dinking and dunking with him, and that's not Jay Cutler's game. He likes to push the vertical passing game, threaten the defense. I think Miami is grasping right now for what they do well.
Okay, let's go to Joe Flacco. If you think Cutler is bad, then what do you think of Joe Flacco? And that's a guy, you come out week one and the way they handled Cincinnati, not only Flacco, but I want to tie John Harbaugh. Can he potentially be on a hot seat if this continues?
Well, look, the frustration's really high right now in Baltimore. And a home loss to Pittsburgh hadn't happened since 2012. Now they're 2-2. They're trailing the Steelers. Again, they were creating all those turnovers, 10 turnovers the first 2 weeks, nothing in the last 2 weeks. But it's really on the offense and Flacco. They just haven't figured out, are they a running team or a passing team? They don't have a strength right now.
Well, you do predictions before the start of the season. I'm thinking if you got to pick a team, it's going to be 2-2 in New York. It's the Giants. The Giants are winless. What do you make of them?
Looks a little like the Ray Hanley era suddenly in New York. Remember?
Oh,
I mean, now I know Ben McAdoo won 11 last year, but right now this is a really precarious time. At 0-4. The season's not lost, but it is on the precipice. And I think at this point, they need to know that he has a plan and he has some answers. There's nothing worse, as you know. Veteran players can tell if a coach doesn't know how to stop the bleeding. Fourth quarter leads lost. That's the quickest way to demoralize a football team.
I've become an L.A. Ram fan because they're using my old high school helmet. They went back to the white ham room. I think it's gorgeous.
Roman Gabriel era.
McVay and what they have going on. Can that last out there in L.A.?
I think it can. I think they're a legit 3-1 as opposed to last year when they were a fraud 3-1 to start this season. Look, this is a team, unbelievably, it's not being led by its defense. We love their defense. That defense got shredded 4 straight scoring drives in the first half at Dallas. So suddenly, it's the Rams' offense. I think McVay has Goff playing in a really good sweet spot right now. I'm buying on the Rams.
All right, Don, thanks a lot. When we continue with Patriots This Week, we'll look at the AFC East with our crew. More of that when we continue.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments. You, your advisor, and Putnam. Pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. And by Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week, and we're going to talk about the AFC East here, guys. I want your biggest surprise here at the quarter poll. Start with Matt. Why?
For me, it's pretty easy. It's the Jets, and quite frankly, it looked like they were starting the season not attempting to win. I mean, they clean out the roster, the quarterback situation is in disarray. They didn't seem to care. They get rid of Sheldon Richardson in year. It's a locker room that you would understand was a bit in a disarray. I think Todd Bowles looks like a Coach of the Year candidate right now by getting them to 2-2.
They don't even know how to lose.
I think that's it's pretty incredible that they've won those couple games.
Paul.
You know, I'm going to use the same reasoning, the same rationale, but a different team. Buffalo, I thought they were full-on in Jets mode. I thought they were looking to to dump. They get rid of Sammy Watkins. They get rid of Ronald Darby. It looked like they were, you know, stockpiling some draft picks. I thought they made some really nice moves in April in the draft. Then all of a sudden, they're at 3-1. They go into Atlanta and win a game that I, quite frankly, didn't think they had any chance to win.
How about those Buffalo Bills there, Paul? How about that fan base, Bills Mafia? Thank goodness we're not going up there next week.
Stay off of Twitter.
Stay off Twitter. That's going to do it for this week's version of Patriots This Week. For Bob Soucy, for Don Banks, for Matt Chatham, and this guy, Paul Perillo. Good job pinch hitting right there. We'll see you next time. Thanks for watching on Patriots This Week.